You know, many years ago, when I was a child, there was no electricity on the reservation, and so when you got ready for bed, well, then your grandparents would begin with stories. They would tell you the stories, and then their language was so eloquent, and you know, it was so descriptive that you can almost say that they told our stories in color.
Yes, and it seems like there's a lot of characters that reappear.
One of our favorite, you know, characters that we used to hear a lot about, you know, was even before the coming of the other types of people. You know, our favorite trickster was the white man.
That was one of the tricksters, was the white man.
Yeah, yeah, was a trickster. In many of the stories, the white man always wants to outsmart some of the animals, or all the animals and the birds. But there's one thing that he cannot conquer, and then that was the coyote.
Yeah. Now, I noticed that a lot of these stories are very funny, and humor seems to play a big role.
There are, you know, they are very, very, yeah. One of the stories is where that the white man, the trickster, you know, sees this bird. This bird is sitting on a limb of a tree, and then it has an ability to throw its eyes out and then land on another tree. And that enables the bird to see what's on the other side while he is here. And today we can sit here and through the satellite, through the television, we can view what's happening in Iraq or whatever, but physically we are here.
And some of the stories, they're even a little body or naughty, I guess.
Yeah, we have some naughty stories. You know, we had the white man and his mother-in-law. In our tradition, a boy will never speak to his mother-in-law. There's a relationship there that they stay far apart. But this white man, you know, he had a mother-in-law, and then I guess she was very beautiful. So they climb on a hill. They start climbing on a hill, and his mother-in-law has long dress, but as they climb on the hill, he would step on it. And he would step on it constantly until they tear pieces of it. And pretty soon this white man starts to moan, and wondering, asking, what's the matter? He said, I'm very, very cold. I think I'm going to freeze. And then the mother-in-law says, well, come over and I'll warm you up. You know, that's what he wanted to do. I said, that's your naughty story.
But it's hilarious, and does it teach a lesson too? Is it kind of talk about that rule?
That's the traditional rule, you know, that was in place. Worked for us, but not for the trickster, not for the white man.
Yeah, so maybe you can talk a little bit, and Andy, feel free to pitch in here. How much of the writing had been done in the past? How much of these stories had been preserved in writing?
So they had been written down by several different people using several different writing styles, but the problem with all of them was that the writing was not very clear. It didn't really capture all the Arapaho sounds very well. So our job was to go through all those manuscripts and try to figure out what in the heck they were actually trying to say in Arapaho and what they really meant in Arapaho and kind of bring it back to life. When I came up here, the tribe had already done a good deal of work on writing the language themselves and ended up writing a grammar. And now we're working on an ambitious dictionary. We really want to have a complete dictionary of the language, although that's never possible, but to get somewhere close to that.
Well, and I remember in reading it that some of the words are words that mean whole sentences. You know, how do you put together a dictionary when it's that complex?
Yeah, most of our verbs are one utterance, but it's a sentence. Like say, I am hungry. Has nano, you know, in English, it's got all of that. It's got the subject and it's got the action word, and then in our tenses, you know, we have the present. We have the past, we have the future, and we have an additional one that no others have is what we call a narrative past. The narrative past, you know, it denotes that the speaker don't have first-hand knowledge of what he's speaking about, so he makes that known.
Did you want to add anything to that?
Well, just to say, yes, it is difficult to do a dictionary of Arapaho. I think people don't realize the fact that dictionaries, they were originally done for languages like English and German and French and Spanish, But in Arapaho, if I want to say I am walking, I say Jabisana. But if I want to say I walked in the past, I say Nih Jabisana. And if I'm going to say I'm going to walk in the future, I say Hat Jabisana. And that's all one word. The word just gets longer and it adds prefixes. The problem for a user of a dictionary in a language like this is how to even find that word when it's kind of got three prefixes and two suffixes before and after it.
Yeah. Well, why? Maybe just to wrap up, can you talk about why it is so important to preserve Arapaho?
Well, it is very, very important because, you know, identity of our people. Without the language, it is impossible to really interpret our life ways. So, you know, for people now, our young students, you know, that don't have the language, you know, they have a very low self-esteem and low concept of themselves. They don't know who they are.
We were talking earlier about the fact that there's an Arapaho story which would compare to Shakespeare or some of the great European literature, and I definitely think that's true. It's an incredibly rich and complex language, and these stories have developed over hundreds of years and become more and more tightly organized with more and more puns and jokes and lessons in them. Arapaho should be studied as a literature by everybody in the same way that we would study Italian literature and read Dante or German literature and, you know, read the great Romantic poets.
Well, I fully intend to take this book home and read some of these stories to my children, for sure. They're going to enjoy them so much. Well, thank you both so much for taking some time out of your very busy day to talk to me.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much.